That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here after a 4-2 Blackhawks win over the Montreal Canadiens at the United Center. Let's waste no time. Go right downstairs to Tyler Bertuzzi, who is kind enough to throw on a headset. Tyler, we know it's a sour mood after the Winter Classic. How impressed were you by this response by your team today?
Yeah, definitely. It was one we needed and one we got. Everyone bought in. It was a great 60-minute game. Everyone was, you know, playing hard, keeping it simple, and that's what wins you hockey games.
So what was the difference coming into this game as far as the preparation? I know that you guys do the same routine and everything, but obviously there was a different mentality coming into this one. What was the difference?
Yeah, just the mindset. You know, this is a game we needed to win to get back on track. You know, first game of the new year, at home in front of our fans, and it was one we needed to, you know, to start things off right.
Tyler, you scored your 13th goal of the season, on pace for almost 30 this year. What's been working so well for you personally lately?
Just, you know, trying to get to some good areas. Obviously, some great passes by the line mates and a little bit of luck.
Can you tell me, describe for me, what Nick Foligno was doing there with the empty net and two goals?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was just trying to, you know, obviously he's a veteran player. You know, if you ice it at certain times, it might come back and bite you in the butt. So he just, you know, obviously wanted to try and get it over the red and keep it simple. And, you know, we were all telling him to go for it.
Tyler, thoughts on Arvid Soderblom's performance today? He deserved the number one star tonight.
Yeah, 100%. You know, Sody's been good for us all year. When we need him big in late in games, you know, that last save before after the second, you know, that was a big save, and that's one we needed, or the game would have been tied. So he's been awesome for us.
You know, you looked at some of the veteran players yourself. Nick Foligno, obviously, big Patty Maroon gets a goal and a big scrap as well. What does it mean to you when you see the older guys really engage themselves and set the tone?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it gets everyone else going. You know, they're buying in, and it shows they care. And you know, that's what drives the bus. You know, especially for such a young team. And those guys are, you know, key in our room.
Thanks for doing this, Tyler. Go get him on Sunday. Keep it going.
Thanks.
All right, that is Tyler Bertuzzi, our Blackhawks post-game guest. Big win by the Blackhawks, given 5-game losing streak, and embarrassing performance in the Winter Classic against St. Louis at Wrigley. For them to bounce back the way they did, not just kind of scraping a win out of here, it was an impressive win by the Blackhawks. Arvid played terrific, but there were some encouraging signs that you saw some emotion out of this Blackhawks team.
Yeah, that's the one thing I think everybody wants to see. I could say, you know, that's what I want to see, but that's what everybody wants to see. I mean, you know, you're going to win games, you're going to lose games, but you want to see the competitiveness come out, and you want to compete hard, and that's kind of what had drifted away a little bit, just mentally you weren't prepared to play. And I think, you know, everybody was engaged in this game early on, and you know, both sides of the equation, Montreal coming on in here in a pretty good heater. They played a strong first period, but I thought that was one of the better, more engaged first periods that we've seen from the Blackhawks in a long time. It tilted in the favor of the Canadiens in the second half of the second period. But Soderblom was there to make the big saves, and then Montreal not able to get the goals that they were looking for in the third period. A real lucky bounce off the backboards gave Montreal their second goal of the game. Other than that, Soderblom was spectacular in this one. And the way that Mrazek has struggled here as of late, it just seems like he hasn't been himself as of late. 5 goals, 4 goals, 5 goals, 4 goals, and 6 goals. For Mrazek in his last 5 games. We haven't seen a stretch like that from Peter since basically he's been here as a Blackhawk. So, you know, maybe an opportunity for Soderblom to play a couple games, let Mrazek just kind of reset, you know, get his energy back. He's been playing a lot of hockey, so it's really good to see Soderblom playing with the confidence that he is. John mentioned it earlier on that, you know, this is a different guy than what we saw last year. It just seems like mentally last year he was fragile. This year it doesn't seem like anything kind of deters him, and he's been really good this year.
The Blackhawks needed a goaltending performance like this by one of their goaltenders, because if you look at some of the metrics, even like the shots against, the Blackhawks are improving under Anders Sorensen. The one area that has taken a significant step back since the coaching change is the goaltending. Under Luke Richardson this year, the Blackhawks were 12th in save percentage at .897. Under Sorensen, 31st at .862. And so it was like they were among the top third in the NHL in goaltending, and then it way over-indexed. Like, if you're Chicago, you just need average goaltending, and you're probably going to be in the hockey game. But because it went so far the other way, it's really hard for this Blackhawks team to overcome that bad goaltending.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of reasons. You know, they talked about, and Sorensen talked about it after the Winter Classic, that Mrazek not able to see. You can't blame everything on the goaltender, but there has been moments here in the last little while where pucks have gone through goaltenders, which we haven't seen. You know, they've been pretty clean, and Mrazek has always been fantastic. But, you know, you get those in, and for a team that's struggling to score goals and maybe a little bit fragile mentally, they haven't been able to overcome that. And it seems like the opposition has been able to feed off that lack of emotion, maybe that lack of confidence, if you want to say, and take games away and win by multiple goals. So, you know, it was big for the Blackhawks to get this win the way that they did. The goaltending, as you mentioned, was great, and you need that. And maybe you need it a little bit more than the average. You know, when you look at it, you want goaltenders to make the saves that he's supposed to make and come up with some big saves. And Soderblom made all the saves that he was supposed to make, and then the big save that Bertuzzi was talking about right at the tail end of the second period, where Suzuki got a real good one-timer, and Soderblom came strong across from his left to his right, kicked out the pads in a full split. And, you know, made the save. And that, it's a different game if they score that goal. So nice job by the Blackhawks. I think everybody, if you look at it across the board, I'm not disappointed in anybody's play. I thought the defense were engaged. I thought Kaiser came in and played a real strong game with Seth Jones, who I thought was much better. You get, you know, the big contributions from Vlasic, Crevier. I thought Brody was good in this game as well. So, you know, even though you did give up 40 shots, and that's a lot, you want to cut that down significantly, I thought that they competed much better than we've seen here in the last little while, where they had lost five in a row.
How about the physicality in this hockey game? The final total was 22 hits for Montreal, 20 for Chicago. But, man, it felt like there were probably 60 to 70 hits in this hockey game, especially in the first two periods. Jason Dickinson lays a big hit on Yaroslavkovsky. Louis Crevier on Kirby Dach. Joey Anderson then responded on Louis Crevier. Kirby Dach had one. But, I mean, there were
Joey
there was,
Anderson.
Did I say Joey? I meant
Josh.
Josh Anderson. I was like, wait, it starts with a J O. Who am I thinking of? Josh Anderson. But the physicality in this hockey game was evident, and I think it was part of the emotion for Chicago of channeling it from the last game, where you saw the fight from Pat Maroon, you saw the hit by Dickinson. Is that fair to say that the Hawks came into this game like, let's play a physical, hard hockey game?
Well, they better have had that attitude yeah. coming into this game. I mean, you know, you got to have some respect for the game, and you have to have an understanding that, you know, what you saw at the Winter Classic just simply was not good enough, and you would expect a response in the manner that they did. You had a couple days off. They took a day off. They had a good practice yesterday and then reset their minds. And I know that, you know, Sorensen is a young head coach coming in here, and maybe you don't want to yell and scream, but you certainly want to make the point. But I when you heard the responses from the Blackhawks players after that game against the St. Louis Blues, you could hear in their voice the frustration, and you could hear what Nick Foligno's message was, what Dickinson's message was, and Taylor Hall. Those are older guys, and they've been around the league. Some of the younger guys, you know, maybe don't have an understanding of what it's like, but they've always played meaningful games. They've been on teams that have been good. They've probably been on teams that haven't been good. And when you get to this level, you really have to, it's how you respond. Good teams are going to lose games, but what do they do the next game to overcome that, to change it around? And the Hawks weren't able to do that for five games, and it just kind of seemed like it was sliding out of the way. And maybe hitting rock bottom in that, you know, Winter Classic game when everybody was hoping that it was going to be a good moment for the Blackhawks, a showcase moment for the organization. It just didn't pan out to be that type of a game. And then you lose it, and now you have to come into this game. And they wanted to put on, not they didn't want to put on a show, but they wanted to come out and show that they were willing to work. They were willing to pay the price to score goals, to do what they needed to do. And I really think, and I agree with you, Charlie, that first period was as good a period we've seen where the team, a complete team, just engaged in what they needed to do to turn things around.
Yeah, and we understand Montreal it was the opponent tonight, but they came into this hockey game feeling themselves probably as confident as they are as a group right now. And so this was important. And the Hawks are probably, conversely, coming into this game as mentally fragile as they have probably felt all season. So this was, it's hard to overstate how significant of a win this game is, because if they lose tonight, I don't know how mentally how you move forward and try to pick yourself up off the mat by, you know, this stretch over the last couple weeks.
But yeah, and I love the leadership that the older guys showed in this game. Nick Foligno, 2 goals. And what he said after to Darren Pang, who I think was standing on the bench to look eye to eye at Nick Foligno. the little elf still. Just kidding. But, you know, he said, I promise we're going to be back to Blackhawk hockey. And I'm going to, you know, that's what I'm going to promise to you fans, that we're going to get back to that type of play. And that means a lot, and that speaks volumes. And what Foligno did in the Winter Classic, getting in the fight with Braden Schenn, you know, to me it was a big moment for him, but also his teammates, to see, though, this is what a guy who gets it, who's been around the NHL for a lot of years, played over 1,000 games, he's just that guy. And I think it's really important for the younger players to see the example for what Patty Maroon did in this game. You know, I like the leadership, what Dickinson did in this game. I mean, he was coming out there taking faceoffs, and the Hawks at this game were 50%, which is good, but Dickinson
at
was
one point
50%.
I think they were 59% through 2 periods. Like, I don't think I'd ever seen them in the almost 60% range.
Yeah, you're right. They're 59%. But just, you know, he came out and delivered a couple huge hits. And then let's talk about Colton Dock.
I was just going to say, I see him speaking to the media right now.
Oh, there you go.
I talked to Anders Sorensen before the game, and he was talking about the St. Louis and Chicago game. The scoring chances were even. The difference was St. Louis scored 4 of their goals within the house area. Hawks scored 0, so they didn't capitalize. And a huge reason the Blackhawks called up Colton Dock is because he plays that gritty type game, is a net front guy, 6'4", almost 200 pounds, led the team today with 5 shots and 5 hits. Only logged 11 minutes of ice time, but he was noticeable seemingly every shift.
Yeah, and that's going to give him another game. You know, there's no doubt that he's going to be in the lineup. How can you look at that stat line and say, okay, kid, we're sending you back down? But most guys, and I shouldn't say most guys, but a lot of players come up and they don't realize that this is their opportunity. You may not get a second shift. Do you know what I mean? You may not get that next chance. So you better do something on the first opportunity. Don't wait for something to happen. And Colton Dock initiated what he needed to do early on in this game. He had 4 shots in the first period, and they were all right around the crease area. And that's, as you mentioned, that's something that the Hawks were looking for. That's why Colton Dock, who had been hot down in Rockford lately, was doing down there, paying the price. He's a big, strong power forward. He's got to play that game. And if he wants to stick in the NHL, which everybody does, he has to understand, especially as a young player, he can't have off games. You have to find that consistency, and that's something that Colton was talking about, that's what he was working on down there, not just one good game and then a couple games where you don't notice him. If you're going to make a statement, if you're going to get that next opportunity at this level, you have to have that consistency, and that is really tough for a young player. Travel, everything that's included in it, all factors into it. But this is a great start for Colton. But the next game, he's got to have the same kind of numbers.
Right.
You know, there's no reason that a Colton Dock can't have one, two hits per period, which gives them five, six, seven hits over a 60-minute game, right? I mean, that's just, and you can't go out there and not be noticed. You can't run around and take yourself out of position, but if you're a powerful player and you're a physical player, you got to do what you do best. And he came in here, and boy, I think he had the great attitude to do what he needed to do. Five shots, led the team, five hits, tied for the most along with Nolan Allen. So he did an excellent job in putting himself in a real good position in everybody's eyes, the coaching, the management, the organization. Everybody's looking at that and say, you know, well done by Colton Dock. Took advantage of an opportunity.
Yeah, the encouraging part is he had that mentality right when the puck dropped. There wasn't any timidness in his game. It was, I know what they called me up here to do. Let me play that game and show that I can play that game at this level.
Yeah, and there's so many guys that don't take advantage of that opportunity. And I go back, and John knows the story that I'm going to tell. The first time that Andrew Shaw was called up, he had a goal, he had a fight in his first game in Philadelphia. Can't send this kid back down. And then, you know, he had a great career. He ended up playing with the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, you know, that he took advantage of everything that he needed to do. And he didn't let that opportunity go to waste. And Mark McNeil, wasn't it? Mark McNeil was his first name, first round pick. I had an opportunity, and he's from Edmonton, and I kind of knew him a little bit with some friends of some friends type thing. And I talked to him, and he got called up for a game against Carolina, and he was a big, strong, powerful guy, and everybody expected him to be a physical type of player. And I talked to him, and I said, you know, before the game, I said, take advantage of this opportunity. Don't go unnoticed. He didn't do anything in that game. He didn't do anything in that game. To give himself another opportunity, and it was right before the All-Star break. They sent him back down and never played another game in the NHL. Didn't take advantage of that opportunity. Colton Dock took advantage of his NHL debut in a big way.
And I think, too, he understands what his identity is as a player, whereas some guys, they get drafted, they're always usually the best player on their junior team, the best player growing up, but then when they get to the NHL, they think they're that same person. And, like, I'll probably even go to Colton's brother, Kirby. Like, I think there was a little disconnect over what the organization wanted him to be, more of a two-way guy, 60-ish, 60 to 65 points. And I think Kirby thinks, you know, offensive guy, like, I want to put up points. And so Colton, I feel like he knows what he is, power forward, shoot-first mentality, get in your face. And I think that is almost half the battle if you're a young player, that what you know what you are as a player and kind of don't deviate from that.
Well, you know, as a high draft pick, you know, Doc came in and, you know, had some exhibition games and stuff like that, but, you know, really didn't establish himself. You know, last year, I think there was some disappointment in him that he, you know, didn't get a chance. But he wasn't ready to understand
right
what he needed to do. And he expected that it was, and I'm just saying this, on speculation on my part, but you know, a lot of players think what they've done before earns them that opportunity. It doesn't matter what you've done before, as you said, it's what you do at this level. And he talked about the consistency and the way that he needs to play the game. And I think that he's still a young guy at only 21 years of age, and I don't know how long he's going to stay up here. I mean, there's all kinds of factors as far as who goes down, contracts, all that stuff. But he talked about the consistency and how he needs to play the game. And I think it really showed that he's found who he is, and he's going to keep working on being that type of player. And those type of players are not easy to come around in the NHL.
Right.
You can't find those players who have the willingness to battle, the willingness to, you know, go into the corners, to go to the front of the net. Those are hard areas, even in today's game. And when you find a guy who's got the size, and I was watching his skating, I think his skating has really improved as well. And that's because, you know, he's playing down in Rockford, and he's playing big minutes, and he has an opportunity to work on his game. I didn't see any weaknesses in his game. He was making smart plays. So just an excellent performance by a young guy who took advantage of the first game.
Last one for you. Critical for the Blackhawks to turn in the same kind of effort on Sunday against another mentally fragile New York Rangers team. And so an opportunity to kind of put the five-game losing streak in hindsight and start this own start a new streak.
Yeah, it would, you know, the consistency, and again, that's what Foligno was talking about. We're going to bring this every game. And there's no reason that they can't do what they did here. That's just hard work. That is just committing yourself to doing whatever it takes to win the game. Yes, you had great goaltending, but that's part of the equation. You know, you talk about the good teams and teams that win the Stanley Cup. They've usually got one of the best goaltenders in the league. Soderblom was excellent in this game. And, you know, hopefully you continue to get that strong goaltending. And you play the New York Rangers, another original six matchup, a team for the New York Rangers. They're trying to find their identity. So if you can take advantage of the way that they played tonight, bring that consistency into that game Sunday. I think it's an afternoon game, isn't it?
Yep, 2 o'clock.
You know, bring that same intensity to that game. And, you know, then they just build on it. And you've got an opportunity here with a lot of home games in January to build on it, to reinvest the fans and get the fans believing back in and say, hey, I like watching this team. It's important that they have a strong effort in that game against the Rangers. This can't be just a one and done.
Great stuff as always. Good to do this post-game show where I can feel my toes indoors.
Yeah, but where's the happy music?
It was going on. We went right into Tyler Bertuzzi, so I didn't have a chance to acknowledge it, but I heard it in the background.
Was it Christmas happy music?
It was Christmas. Well, it wasn't Christmas-y, but it was happy music.
Okay. All right.
So, all right. That is the great Troy Murray. We'll talk to you on Sunday. We got some.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hopefully, we got some Blackhawks sound rolling in. I know Nick Foligno spoke to the media. Arvid Soderblom, Colton Dock. We'll try to get as much as we can in here on the Blackhawks postgame show, which is going to roll on after this on 720 WGN.
Loose puck beside the net. Dickinson's got it. Put it out to the high slot. Kizer fires. He scores! Wyatt Kizer let it rip from the high slot, and if nobody touched that puck, that's Wyatt Kizer's first NHL goal.
Nick Foligno.
But it looked like Foligno got a piece of it. Bada boom, bada bing.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, Hawks take down the Montreal Canadiens 4-2. You just heard the second goal by Nick Foligno, had two in this game, his 9th and 10th goals of the season. He was awesome, part of the veteran leadership group to channel the emotion the right way from the Winter Classic game. By the way, 312 texter. Undefeated in 2025, Hawks. Facts. That's right. Hawks are looking to turn the page in 2025. Nick Foligno was saying something similar after the game to Darren Pang. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to the post-game media scrum.
Well, I could tell from your reaction on that second goal. I mean, it just seemed like this celebration, this need to enjoy a moment for you guys.
Well, I just think we're scoring 5-on-5 goals today, right? So yeah. That's a big difference. You're going to win hockey games when you do that. Plus, your power play gets you one. You know, it's unfortunate, got a lucky one, but our penalty kill is really good too. And when you have all those components, you win hockey games. And, you know, even though you make mistakes throughout the game, you cover for them. And guys stepped up and blocked shots and covered for guys. And that's what a team does. So I hope guys understand the recipe to win. And it's hard. It's, you know, no one's leaving here. Everyone's exhausted. And that's what you feel good, right? Yeah. You feel good when you feel like that and you get a win. So, yeah, I think we had an honest conversation yesterday about how disappointed we were with the way we've been playing the past few. And I'm really proud of every guy for stepping up tonight.
How important was that second period, especially from Arvid?
Huge. I mean, the way he kept us into it at the end. And, that's the moments you need. And you don't want to rely on him too much. But you know what? You need your goalies to make big saves. Other teams' goalies do against us. And, you know, he was the difference maker today. So I'm really thrilled for him, too, just in the way he's played and come back this year. And he's such a great teammate, great person. And you want to see him have success because he's an outstanding goaltender. And he's going to make our team that much better when he plays like that.
What do you think of young Colton?
I thought he did great. You know, that's pretty cool. I actually had my brother make his debut against me in Ottawa when he was playing for the Sabres. So I thought that was really unique and pretty special that I got to witness another brother duo do that. And I was thrilled for him. I thought he played really well, brought the energy that we expected him to bring. And he's only going to get better as he gets more comfortable. So he should be proud of himself. I'm sure his family's thrilled, and I'm really happy for him and his family.
He's a physical guy, and it seemed like it almost kind of rubbed off on the team that everyone else was playing more physical, too, especially in that first period.
Yeah, I mean, that's a conversation we had. bad. But I think that's what Docker brings, right? He's a power forward, and when he plays like that, it just drives the, when you see a younger player, everybody kind of jumps in. But I thought Dickey set the tone too early on, two big hits in the first shift, and guys followed suit. And, Allen's been playing so physical and so well, and but yeah, I love what Docker brings to our team, and if, you know, we're going to help him sustain that and do everything we can to make sure he's comfortable. But he's got to continue to drive the bus himself, and I'm sure he will.
Do you feel like the monkey's off your back?
I mean, I don't like, yeah, I think it's a start. You know, I think it's, you know, we're not happy with where we're sitting at by any means. And you don't just exhale after you get one win. I want to see us string a few together here now and get back to the hockey we expect to play. So that was a great start and step in the right direction. But by no means are we just, you know, satisfied with that. We know where we're sitting and we got to start climbing. So I'm proud that we hit the new year the way we wanted to. And hopefully we get momentum from that going into Sunday.
How important was it to do this at the United Center?
Huge, huge. I mean, just for our fans. You know, we left a bad taste in everyone's mouth, ourselves mostly, and how we played in that Winter Classic. And we wanted to make sure they were proud of the brand of hockey that we're putting out there. And I think that's more the Blackhawk brand that they're expecting to see. And we'll, you know, fine-tune it and get a little bit better. But I think the momentum will hopefully carry over. But, yeah, that was big to get one at home ice here. And we have a nice little home stand, so let's take advantage of it.
Look, like you prematurely celebrated Taylor Hall's goal and then wound up getting it yourself.
I celebrated two of them. Glassy hit both posts and then Halsey. And I'm just glad the air got it off my stick and in the net because it looked like I was sweeping at it for about an hour. You know, it's just nice that we got those bounces, right? And you know, it's a huge goal at the time for us, just the way that Halsey carries it and hits Vlasi, and a great shot by Vlasi, and you know, it's nice to be able to put that one in and kind of put the game away.
Seemed like the guys wanted to try to get you a hat trick.
Yeah, I was saying I was pretty tired at the end there, and I was just more worried about the win. It would obviously have been nice, but I've had those in my career. Hopefully I'll have another coming up down the road to get another chance at it. But no, I'm really thrilled that we got the win, and I'm proud of the guys for the way we played, and you know, that has to continue.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. Boy, that he had a minute and a half worth of chances on the empty netters. I think he had three opportunities, and unfortunately couldn't bury them. It would have been his third career NHL hat trick. By the way, did not know that Marcus Foligno, his younger brother, made his NHL debut against Nick. So kind of a unique experience that Colton can relate to after facing his brother Kirby. Colton Dock, five shots on goal, led the team. Five hits, also led the team. Let's hear what he had to say after the game.
It was awesome. I think definitely a little nervous at the, you know, before I went on the ice for warm-ups, but just all excitement, kind of emotions were flying, and just after that I just started to play hockey.
Did you say anything to your brother on the ice at all?
No, but he did tell me to stay on my feet after I drew that one penalty, so a little talk there.
What were you hearing or feeling during your rookie lap?
I was just kind of trying to take it all in, like all the guys here kind of said, just, you know, take your moment and just go out there and have fun, and that's what I was trying to do.
It was a pretty physical game right out of the jump. Did that kind of feed into how you play the game?
I think, yeah, I like to play physical. I like to get inside guys and into bodies, and I think that was my number one goal for the first shift, is just go out there and try and be physical. And I think that Dickey set the tone the first shift, and that just kind of fed right through to the end of the game.
Seemed like you were trying to keep your shift short. That was a big emphasis, too.
Yeah, I wanted to leave on a good note, so I wanted to keep them short and just, you know, leave it all out there.
Seems like you were dishing a lot of hits, and then Struble got you pretty good in the neutral zone there. What were you feeling after that?
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen when you running around hitting guys. They're going to hit you back, so you just got to be ready for it.
How does it feel after a couple hard years of work to kind of reach this moment?
Yeah, it was definitely, when we were taking that photo at the center ice with my brothers, definitely a moment I'll never forget, and just kind of looking around the rink and realizing what it's all came for. And I know my family's super excited, and I wish my mom could be here for it too, but I'm sure she'll come when she can.
Was there ever a time your patience was tested?
I don't think so. I think I've liked my game. I think there's a few plays I'd like to have back, but I think everyone's going to have some of those during the game. But overall, I like my game.
Did you take in the moment, though, besides your skate? Did you look around and feel like this is a big deal?
Yeah, I think definitely during the anthem, that's probably one of the coolest anthems I've ever heard. So just to be a part of that and really got me going for the puck drop. And just looking forward to maintaining my consistent play and being physical.
Nice having some familiarity with Nazar out there in your first game, too.
100%. Being able to just talk to him, come back on shifts, and relate on certain things and just drive each other and try and push each other.
That was Blackhawks rookie forward Colton Dock making his NHL debut. His dad Dale was in attendance for this game to watch his two sons play against each other, but his mom and sister are over in Europe because their sister is playing in a hockey tournament, so unfortunately they couldn't be here, but really cool moment for the Dock family, and I'm sure Colton's going to remember this one, especially that it came in a win. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
There's Hudson down the slot, moves it over. A shot from Suzuki and a split save made by Soderblom. That's the save of the year for Arvid. Here's a shot from the high slot by Gallagher. Up off the glass and wide. Delayed penalty here against the Hawks. And time runs off the clock for period number two. But I'm telling you, folks, watch your sports reports and highlight reels. That is the save of the season for Arvid Soderblom. He practically did the cheerleader splits in the crease to make that save with his right pad.
John Weideman, he set this one up for me. That is tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. Arvid Soderblom's one of his best saves of the season on Nick Suzuki. He stopped 38 pucks on 40 shots for a save percentage of .950, including 19 for 19 in the second period, where he was excellent. Goal saved above expected of 2.78. So this was a much-needed, strong performance by Soderblom and just a Blackhawks goaltender in general. Arvid Soderblom spoke to the media just a little bit ago. Let's listen in.
Like this, do you know you're at your A-game?
No, I had a good start there. A couple of shots first minute. That was nice to kind of get into it right away. And then the game just kept going and it felt good.
The second period, what were you seeing? You were pretty busy for a while.
Yeah, I like that, though. It's when you get a lot of shots, it's easy to stay focused and you're feeling the puck a lot. So I don't mind that, but it's a good feeling for sure. Yeah.
Did you feel any pressure coming into this game, just knowing that how much you guys probably needed this one?
No, not really. Like, I just try to focus on my game. It's always pressure, no matter what game it is or the circumstances. So it's always pressure, but I just try to focus on my game.
Yeah. How hard is it when you have those 1-2 saves you have to make?
No, if you make the first save and you have the rebound kind of near, it's nice to get help from the D's that I got today. So they were picking up, and I could get that second shot kind of right on me. I didn't have to move that much, so that was good.
That was Blackhawks goaltender Arvid Soderblom, helped the team snap a 5-game losing streak. The Hawks have kind of alternated between Soderblom and Mrazek. They've gone back and forth over the last couple weeks, but we'll see if they give Arvid Sunday's game to kind of ride the hot hand. And Peter Mrazek has been struggling a little bit, and I think he'd be the first one to tell you, but really strong performance from Soderblom. Chicago interim head coach Anders Sorensen, he sounded really sour after the Winter Classic game, the loss. He was not happy about that. I imagine he's going to be in a much better mood after this win. Let's listen to what he had to tell the media.
Some good performances to highlight tonight, but especially with Arvid Soderblom, you know, how much did he need that game, and that, especially that second period for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, the second period, obviously, I thought he put on a show there. I mean, there were hard saves, too, right? A lot of lateral plays and one-timers, and, he really kept us in the game, so really good for him and really good for our group as well.
What do you think of Colton tonight?
I liked his game. Yeah, I thought some of the things that we've talked about that we needed to add around the net, and I thought he had 4 or 5 shots on net. He was involved around the net, and I thought his wall battle was really good. And, I liked it. It was a good start for him.
It seemed like his physicality almost rubbed off on everyone else. That was one of the most physical games you've had in a while.
Yeah, no, it was good. And I thought it, like, to your point, it engaged other guys as well. And it was good when a young kid comes in like that and plays as hard as he did. It was really positive for the group.
The key to carrying this forward?
I think just sticking with what we did tonight at times, a sub second period maybe. But, I think too, when the game was on the line today, and we talked about this before, we were able to make some plays when the game was on the line on those last two goals, for example. And so, you know, having the confidence to do that, but also the compete level was high today. And, you know, obviously, Sody competed really hard, especially in that second period. So.
This game mostly in the players' heads.
What's that?
In their heads, mostly. But we can't do it, we can't do it. And finally, they do it and then try to carry it forward that way.
Yeah, I think it's tough when you're on the slide like we've been, right? I think it sits and you can see it at times, but we got through it today, and that was really encouraging.
What do you think was going wrong in the second period defensively, and what do you fix for the third?
I thought we had too many turnovers. We never got it behind them. You know, their second periods are crucial with that. You know, a lot of turnovers were on lines that came back at us. And, you know, they're a good team. They were kind of rolling for a little bit here. And, you know, they pinned us a couple times in the D zone. And so, you know, but keep working. And there's a team on the other side, right, that wants to win as well. So you're going to have the ebbs and flows in the game at times, but obviously don't want to get pushed back that much.
It's been a lot of, there's been a trend in the last month of, you know, you guys getting out first, scoring first, and then giving up a goal late. Have you talked to them about that? You know, how not to let that settle in and carry out through the rest of the game?
Well, I think we're aware of it. I think, you know, it's not like we sit down and talk about specifically that, but I think it's more so kind of back to what I said earlier, managing the puck and understanding, like, 50-50 shifts, which means that you're just checking and nothing really happens, are okay, and that's something we have to learn to do better at times. First period overall I thought was okay, you know. Again, there's a team on the other side that's playing, and they want to play hard, and, you know, so it balances out throughout the game a little bit.
Nick and Colton both mentioned Jason Dickinson's first shift kind of setting the tone with a couple hits. Is he a guy that you have the amount of trust in that you, if you need to start a game right, you put him out first?
Yeah, I mean, he to that point, he was really early engaged, and it shows the rest of the group as well, right? And, you know, again, I think Jason said, like, Colton was physically involved early too, and then Patty was involved physically, Smitty was involved. So that's kind of how we have to play, right? And I think that most teams in NHL has to play like that. So we got to find that energy, you know, shift in and shift out. It's never going to be perfect, but at least the compete level was much higher today.
And then you look at, like, Maroon and Foligno's goals, you know, just that being around the net and underscoring the importance of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Today we were there and we stopped, and I think that Nick's goal, it was kind of, well, it was like three or four chances to get in, right? But he stopped in that area and ended up scoring, right? So that was a huge goal, obviously, for us. But even Patty's drive into that area, and it's something we've got to keep doing.
Seen firsthand kind of the work Colton's put in over the last couple of years. How cool was that to also get to now see his debut?
Yeah, you know, he's had, I mean, you know, last year he had injuries. Last year at times in December, I thought, he was our best forward in Rockford, and then had some injuries, and then came into this year with a, you know, fresh perspective, and his development this year has just, you know, he's improved every day, and he's really deserved this opportunity to play here tonight, and he did really well, so I was really happy for him.
That was Anders Sorensen. Much better effort by Chicago in this one. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Now the Rangers shoot in. Swayman knocks it ahead. Kreider intercepts for Zibanejad. Shoot, stop, rebound, score! Riley Smith! Rangers take a 1-0 lead.
Tonight's next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That was Kenny Albert on the call for ESPN New York. The New York Rangers are going to be in town on Sunday, a 2 o'clock afternoon game at the United Center. The Rangers, prior to that win over Boston on Thursday, they had lost 7 of their last 8 games, and so they are still making headlines in the NHL. They have not found their game yet. They are outside of a playoff picture, and so I don't think anyone expected the New York Rangers to be in the position that they are in today, or up until this point. They're going to be playing the Washington Capitals tomorrow in Washington, and then they're going to fly to Chicago for Sunday's game. So it's going to be the second of a back-to-back for the Rangers against the Blackhawks. And so if you're Chicago, you want to take advantage of some potentially tired legs with the Rangers and capitalize on today's win over the Montreal Canadiens, which was an awesome bounce-back performance from the Winter Classic for the Blackhawks. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Michael DeLeonardis. They were led by our engineers, the captains, the legendary Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our fearless colonel, Brett Jackson, back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from the United Center, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-2 Blackhawks win over the Montreal Canadiens. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Sunday afternoon from the UC.